Every human being is walking around literally disconnected from our original purpose. And so the question is, so what does God do about it? Because He made us. And I find it very interesting that God, even when we say in Genesis with Adam and Eve, however historically that happened, because that's a story. But in Adam and Eve, basically we said to God, shove it. We're going to do it ourselves. That's basically it. Shove it. We're going to do it ourselves. We're in charge. We don't need you. Thank you. And we thought we were going to do it because the serpent promised it. And what happened? The moment we ate of that fruit, whatever it was, we didn't get anything. We just thought we were naked. And from that moment on, the confusion has continued. But God has never given up on us. And He said to us, I will make all things new. I will not leave you orphaned. I refuse to let my work of creation go down into rot. I refuse to allow this creation, because of your choices, to reach its full potential. I will make all things new. And what does He do? Do you remember in the first reading, when does God start creating the world? Count backwards. What is the seventh day? Saturday? It's the Sabbath, right? Right? I just wanted to make sure you were alive. Saturday's the seventh day, right? Right. What's the first? Sunday. God begins His creation on Sunday. What day does Jesus rise on? It's not an accident. Because by that, God is saying, you have hoped, you have dreamed of life. You have dreamed of going on with life. God, look back. You know, one of the things that I started thinking about is how you interpret history. Think about all of the myths and all of the customs that have gone on, especially in religion. And what has it all been about? It's been about not wanting to die. Look at the Egyptians. The Egyptians used to mummify people, and they used to put all kinds of stuff in their tombs because they were dreaming of some kind of an afterlife. Why? They didn't want to die. And all the other people in the world, if you look at all religions in the world, they're all a way of saying, I don't want to die. And you know why you don't want to die? Because God made you to want to live. It's made inside of you. And so all of the myths and the stories and the religions all deal with people, imaginary characters that come back to life. Of course, what happens a lot of times is that people who dislike religion say, ah, see, Jesus is just one of those myths. No, it's the exact opposite. Think of, for example, CIS, a crime scene investigation. See, is that it? What is it? CSI. Okay. When CSI goes into a wreck of a crime, what are they looking at? They are looking at the remnants. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to interpret the clues to move backwards into what happened and what happened just before. They are trying to reconstruct the scene from the clues. When an archaeologist discovers some ruins, what do? They try, by looking at those ruins, to go backwards and say what it must have been like by taking the clues. Do that and treat human mythology and human religion the same way. And ask, if you look at all of the myths and all of the desires, even our own today, I always get a kick because we look when we go see Star Wars and we see, what's the kid's name? The magic kid. Harry Potter. I forget his name. But when you look at Harry Potter, and when you look at Star Wars and Star Trek, and we look at all these fantastic movies, what are we trying to say? We're hoping there's something more than this. That's what we're doing. In a galaxy far, far away. In a galaxy. That's a myth. That's our myths. But what is it a symptom of? It's the ruins of what we destroyed. But the evidence is left in our psychology and our imaginations. What you are looking at when you are looking at human history is the fact that what remains inside of us is the evidence of what God originally created. And what has happened is that God said, I refuse to let that go. And so he came to rescue us, and he is rescuing us in Jesus' resurrection on Sunday. What was the first thing that God created? The light. Who is Jesus? The light. He is, that's why he is called the firstborn of the new creation. Look, folks, I can't draw you the whole picture. But if we're just so used to how we interpret reality that being a Christian is entering into a brand new interpretation of reality. It's understanding that reality is not what it seems to be. We always think things are normal, but they're not. The reality is that God is active, and God is renewing creation. You are going to die, but God has come to rescue you. And in Jesus' resurrection is the hope that you have, that the longing for life that you've always had is not just a myth. It's the remnants of what God originally built into you. And Jesus has come to restore that. Final sentence. If you were to ask Jesus, why did you come? His response is totally in the New Testament. I have come that you may have life and have it in its fullness. What does that imply? That you don't. You have life halfway or quarter way, and the older you get, the more you notice it. The younger you are, you're kind of still in the illusion that it's going to be like TV. It ain't. Today we celebrate the new creation, the hope of humankind. And those of you who are about to be baptized, baptism, and I can almost guarantee you, you're not going to get it. I've already told you, I'm 67, 68 years old. I'm just beginning to really get it. I've been a priest for 40 years. I'm getting it. But when I was baptized, I didn't get it. I thought church was boring. I thought the whole thing was bull. But slowly but surely, the Holy Spirit is literally screwing around with your insides. And he's going to get you to understand what it is that you were really made for. He is tinkering with your inside. You don't realize it, but there is a spiritual time bomb inside of you. And when God decides to do it, he's going to say, now. And it's going to mess up your whole life positively. And that's what's being planted in you in baptism. It's a great day. Good luck. And don't forget, that baptismal water is going to plant a divine time bomb inside of you.